Welcome back, everyone. We are now on to episode 2 of our podcast, and today we have some special guests. So we've got Emily and we have Fikayo. So Emily, do you want to start us off and just introduce yourself to our listeners?
Okay, so hi, I'm Emily. I am a second year theatre and performance student at Warwick University. My background, I mean, I'm biracial, I'm Indian and white. I'm just a theatre girl.
Love it. And Fikayo?
Hi everyone, my name is Fikayo and I am a third year student at Warwick. I am studying sociology and criminology, so not theatre.
Exciting.
I'm sure we'll get into that. And I am originally from Nigeria, but I grew up in Manchester.
Lovely stuff. So what made you pick theatre?
Well, I've just always been interested in theatre. I've been a dancer my whole life, and then I got into acting, loved it. I'm passionate about literature as well. So doing a theatre degree means that I get the practical side, but also lots of writing and just lots of analysis and history. So yeah, it's a fab degree and I'm really, really glad I picked it.
I'm glad. And then Fikayo, you obviously don't study theatre. So I guess the question is, how do you participate in it outside of the degree, and what made you fall in love with theatre or acting?
I think for me, theatre and acting was when I was quite young. And I think it was just a chance to kind of just like explore and kind of be in a different realm kind of thing, rather than just the mundane side of life and things. So I think for me, theatre started when I was like 8, and then I did a bit of like acting school, but then it was just too pricey. Too expensive. So I was like, yeah, I'm gonna leave. Then obviously going to high school, they started to do musicals, and I was in Oliver Twist, my first ever musical. And I was Mrs. Salisbury.
Oh my god.
So it was just nice. Like I grew to love it. Then again, we did Wizard of Oz, Wicked Witch of the West. So it was just so fun. Like I just loved it. I don't know what it is about. I'm sure we're going to dive into it, but there was just something about it that I just loved. Like I really did love. But obviously going to university, I was even kind of stuck between, do I go into acting, or do I do theatre, or what do I do, or do I go to uni at all and stuff like that. So I just decided to do sociology and criminology at uni because I was like, okay, cool, it's a reasonable degree, I do enjoy it. And also I felt like for me, I still wanted to keep that element of myself separated from academics, because I felt like that was my safe haven. And bringing it into academics, I was just like, I'm not really sure. But I actually didn't even know Warwick did theatre. I didn't even know that.
It was
that.
A late realisation.
a very late realisation. So I feel like if I knew that, could things have been different? I don't know.
Hey, you
know?
But you're here now.
I mean, here now.
Hindsight is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, true. But yeah,
it is. You actually bring up a really good point about separating the two. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes the enjoyment aspect can disappear every now and then when you are being pushed to do readings. Do you ever have that?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I guess there is pressure when you're getting graded for your work. Like, I do understand that we're at university, so at the end of the day, we of course want to come out of it with a degree, and you have to get graded for it. But I still love it. It makes me like super interested in all these other parts that I didn't know existed or were related to theater. Yeah. What about you, Em? Because we're in the same degree and same year level.
Sometimes it's like, I don't know, because like we get a lot of reading. I think people underestimate just how much work it is. People, like, when I tell people I do theatre, they're like, oh, so you just like walk around the room and stuff like that. And I'm like, no, hun. Like, I'm writing big essays. I'm doing so much work. Like, it's very similar to an English degree. It really is. But sometimes it's kind of a chore. Like when we've got like 20 pages of reading and it's on like crazy stuff. And I'm like, is this even theatre? But it is, because then when you go to the seminar and you go to the lecture, you're like, okay, this is theatre. I see it now. But yeah, I mean, I've never really felt like putting it into like the academic section kind of, I've never fell out of love with it.
Right.
I've never fallen out of love with it. But I mean, now that you've said that, I'm like, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, like, theatre is, I live and breathe theatre. Like, it's just for, like, the fun side and also the academic side. So yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
That's great. So today, the main topic we want to really delve into is casting and the whole world of casting. So the first question we want to just start everyone off is, has your background ever influenced what you've been cast in? Or like what shows you felt like you could go for? So I know Fikayo said you're Nigerian, you're mixed race, right? Like Indian and English.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had any of those types of experiences? What do you think?
For me, there's a lot of imposter syndrome for me because people, like, I do not appear as Indian.
Right.
Like, people, like, I'm white passing, I'm aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, like, if I see a casting, like, people want, like, South Asian people want Indian people, there's something in my brain that's like, you can't go for that. You don't look Indian enough.
Right.
But I think coming to Warwick and being in such a diverse and, like, accepting community has made me go, do you know what? Like, I need to come to terms with that because it's part of who I am.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah, it's... So it's kind of like you're sitting in this limbo, like, am I too Indian for some roles? Am I too white for some roles? It's just like, I think probably a lot of biracial people, a lot of mixed race people could probably relate to that because it is part of who I am and I'm still coming to terms with it. And I think theatre is a really nice device to help me do that. Like being cast in a role, like when people ask, like, we would like someone who is white and Asian. We want someone in this role. It's good. It's nice. It's nice, and it makes me feel so much more comfortable in who I am. Yeah. But it's heavy stuff. But like it's interesting, and I'm growing as I go. Like I'm getting there, but it's difficult sometimes.
So are you more comfortable then, let's say the role doesn't specify that we want, you know, like white and Asian.
Mm.
Are you more comfortable going for like a white character or an Asian character?
I guess
it's one or the other.
I guess like I've always played white roles.
Right.
And because sometimes it's the case of like, am I taking this, if I go for this role that has specified for an Indian person, am I taking it away from someone who is more Indian than me, which is a whole other thing, but like it is just it's all about accessibility as well, like getting, like finding these roles and these opportunities. And what's nice about Warwick is it's like the theatre community here, from my experience, well, it's becoming more diverse.
It's just
working on it. Like, obviously, we have our, pretty much every show that I've been in has had, like, diversity and outreach.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, it's a good thing in itself just to get more opportunities for people, like, of the global majority to get into theatre.
Yeah, it definitely is improving. Like, I'm seeing even, like, the people who are in the year groups each year, I'm noticing it is getting more and more diverse.
Yeah.
And kind of on the topic of improving, if you don't know, Fikayo was in Small Fish, which happened a year ago? A year ago. So that was obviously quite a heavy show that dealt with a lot of, like, not even just race-related topics, but religion, like ableism. You don't do theatre, so what brought you to that audition for that?
I'm actually trying to think
about... Can we first start off by giving a bit of a summary of what Small Fish is for people who don't know?
Just assuming everyone watched it.
So Small Fish was a play written by Ben Timinuga.
Yep.
And it was basically a play about his own experiences, I believe, but it's kind of like... It was kind of twisted to match certain characters. So there was like three main characters, which was a black female, which I played. She's called Tolu. There was also another black boy. He was another main character. And then another Asian boy. He was another main character.
Mm-hmm.
And basically we were in school and the play explored our experiences within school in regards to racism, as you said, ableism, Islamophobia, just different experiences that young people can encounter within school and how it affects them, and even with teachers as well, interaction with teachers, which was also like it looked at heavily. That was kind of what Small Fish was about. How did I come to Small Fish? I'm trying to remember. I don't even know how I found out about it. I think, I don't even remember how. I think what it is that, yes, BAME creatives, just society. So I think I was just following them, then I saw they're doing auditions. So yeah, I just, you know, wanted to find out more about it. And I think for me, it was just the fact that I was a chance to kind of do theatre, and I hadn't done it in so long. The last production I was in college, but that didn't count because I was ensemble. And that play was, it was very bad. It was terrible. Oh my God, it's bringing up nightmares. It was absolutely horrible. It was 9 to 5.
Wow.
Yeah, really bad though. Like, anyway.
Just erase
that. Yeah, erase the memory. So yeah, that was the last one. I was in college, and obviously lockdown happened, and I felt like there wasn't really anything for me to do in regards to theatre. So I just saw the opportunity. I was like, you know what? This looks really cool. And I also thought, I don't know, I think for me, obviously not knowing that theatre was an actual subject at Warwick, I just thought I was going to meet people who just do random subjects, right. And like, they just decided to put on a play. But to find out that like there are people who are like doing theatre, and like this is people are doing it as part of their projects, and I was just like, OMG, like this is actual, like this is real, like, yeah. And obviously I think even though Small Fish was still a play, like it wasn't necessarily a theatre production, I think at the same time there was another theatre production going on at Warwick, I forgot what the name was, and I was just like, OMG, like this is a whole nother world, yeah. That it was crazy to me to think that like just because of a certain in subject, you kind of are just in uni, you're just embarked on that certain subject, and if you don't reach out and if you don't branch out, you don't get to experience these things. And I think that was one thing I was very happy about, the fact that I was able to reach out and branch into the theatre people. Now I know cool theatre people. You know, like it's Thank just you. I would never Unless have known cool. you guys if I didn't do opportunities at Warwick. So I definitely feel like it's something that I'm very much grateful for, but also something that I feel like in general, just kind of, I feel like there should be like more of an intertwined nation. I don't know if that's the word between subjects and departments, because it's just because I don't do theatre. Like I came to uni knowing that really and truly after uni, I still want to see if I can pursue that. Mm-hmm. So to be able to know, okay, cool, I might not do it as a degree, but I can still do it on the side, you know, have fun. That was very nice, but a lot of people might not know that as well.
No, I completely agree.
Yeah.
I think collaborations are important as well, because I'm in my third year and it's only now I'm realising, oh wait, I can talk to the film department and they can help me film my stuff. Mm. Or like the writers can help me with stuff. And it's just like, especially as creative people, I think it just is important to collab. Yeah.
I do actually have a question based off of what Em was saying about diversity officers.
Yeah.
Now, what do diversity officers actually do? Because sometimes I feel like they just exist. As shady as that might sound, but it's like, does anyone know here?
For me, I mean, I've only been in two productions at Warwick. From my experience, they are there as a person who's basically watching and involved in casting to make sure that everything is fair. So it's not, so basically the casting is accessible to all kinds of people, like not just from a racial perspective, but also sexuality, like ability, things like that. Yeah. They are there to just oversee and make sure that everything's fair, and like it's not like people aren't like, but it's all about opportunity, like making sure everyone's been being given the right opportunities, and just like basically checking in. I mean, I probably know more about the role in the sense of like sports clubs more so than societies, because obviously it's like it's slightly different.
Yeah.
But from what I understand, that's the role.
And outreach is also a big part of it. So even for like a show like Small Fish, if we're gonna be realistic, like Small Fish was I think like the second Warwick drama show to have like majority like person of colour, whatever phrase you want to use, they're all cancelled now, but like whatever phrase you want to use, like as like the main cast. So much outreach had to go into that show to literally find people like Fakaya, because they weren't like available within
the department,
within Warwick Theatre. So I think that is a large part of the role, and I think that's a lot of the challenges societies are facing. Like everyone wants to put on more diverse shows, but we're also aware that it doesn't exist in theatre really right now in like the capacity we need. So that is essentially what the role's for. And Rekha, you kind of brought it up, like how you found out about the show through BAME Creators, which actually doesn't exist anymore. So I feel like that could be it. I feel like that could actually be another good thing to talk about. So in case you didn't know,
I didn't know that.
Oh my goodness! Only half of the panel.
So yeah, the show, the society was set up 3-4 years ago, I want to say roughly, to basically increase the amount of opportunities for people of colour within theatre at Warwick, and it also meant that there could be a show that foregrounded that every year at the Arts Centre, which is what Smallfish was.
Was that on at the theatre?
Yeah, it was in the studio at the Arts Centre. But then the issue we found is every year since the original people, there were less and less people to actually be on the exec. And then more so we found that there were people to be on the exec because things are improving, but more and more people didn't feel a need for it. Like people of colour, like people from global majority didn't feel a need for it. And I'd be quite interested to actually hear you, Fikayo, like, yeah, like, do you think... Everyone, actually, do you think there is a need for something like that that foregrounds that? Or do you think everyone should just go to the theatre societies that already exist?
I think, now you said that, I did not know. That's very shocking. Like, I thought it was just a continuous thing. But I think there definitely is a need, because I think for me, especially coming into Warwick and not specifically being in that theatre space, that has been, for me, the like a... and as you said, an outreach, like a way in. And I think a lot of the time it's because it's more, that was more so society rather than a department, it was easier to access. And you have people that are within the department who can then like put that, give their hand out and help you. But I think there definitely is a need, because I think in a way, BAME Creators were also a champion for people of the global majority. So the fact that I didn't even know that the criteria was they do a show every year, I think that like something like that is absolutely amazing. But I think it's just a case of hopefully it does come back, because I definitely feel like, especially nowadays, and even if it's not in that format, because I am aware of like there's another program that one of my friends does, and that's kind of similar to BAME Creators, but it's just that it's just creatives coming together. But I think because of the respect that BAME Creators had, like the fact that this was a part, this was kind of directly involved with the theatre department, I think that it's something different, because it's not just people who are creative coming together, it's people who are creative and we're being funded to come together, we're being pushed forward and we're being championed to do that by the University of Warwick. It's not just someone decided, oh, I want to do this. It's like Warwick has, Warwick has acknowledged us. Warwick has said, okay, cool, we also support what you're trying to do in creating more spaces for people of the global majority. So that's very sad. And oh, it comes back.
I do have a question, since I don't know much about BAME. So this is a society that was funded by the department?
So it was a society. So, like, we had, like, SU funding. Like, every other society
does.
was it
from, like, the theatre department?
No, it's just theatre society. So it's, like, with all the
others. So it's
the
same as all the other ones.
But it just means, like, because it's a society, you get SU funding. And then, like, you make profit, like, on shows. Whereas I feel like there are other groups. Like, there's, like, Reclaim Project now. There's, like... Black Untitled, which are essentially the same things, but because they're not societies, it's all self-done. So I guess they're starting from the bottom. Whilst, like, what you're trying to say is, like, we kind of have...
Do you think it'll ever come back? Or?
It's an interesting one. I think it needs the people. And I think part of the reason why projects like Black Untitled, Reclaim are doing so well is it's because... those groups existed, whilst the body of people of global majority in theatre is so small that it means you're relied upon. Like, it was almost like, if I'm not on the exec, who is? Which is why almost why I was on the exec. Because it was almost like, there's so few of you that if you don't do it, it doesn't exist, which is kind of what ended up happening this year. No one truly wanted to.
That's really sad.
So it is, it's an interesting topic.
But I think that also shows how, like, there is still, there still needs to be, like, progress within, like, university and, like, people of the global majority in regards to people trying, because I feel like for me as well, like as I said, I didn't know about theatre, and I'm very bitter about that, so I'm really comfortable from repeating it. So it's just okay. The fact that I think kind of knowing that we, like, there are other options outside of just, you know, English or maths or science as well, and knowing that the people have options to courses like theatre, I think would be nice. And I feel like being creatives, we're able to kind of just be able to have, you were able to find that joy for theatre, but you didn't necessarily have to be in the theatre department, yeah. Which I think was nice, because I think that's what I had and that's what they gave me.
Yeah.
So, damn. Man.
This is a call to action.
It's so true. It'll be interesting to see what does happen.
Yeah.
With it in the future, yeah. If it gets picked
even
up.
Even if it's not specifically that, just something else. But yeah. Hopefully they rise.
And I do wonder if the people who knew about BAME, like, if all of you guys, like, end up graduating soon, whether people will, like, even know about it.
That's so true, actually, because to freshers.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, like, even for me as a second year, like, I don't know that much about BAME, if I'm being honest.
No.
Imagine, like, the new people coming in.
Yeah. I think it would be, like, interesting. I mean, I've literally just been sat here, like, thinking while you guys were talking. But, like, if it came back as more of a broader organisation rather than a society that maybe worked, like, had, like, workshops and things as well as just being a society, would be interesting. I mean,
so kind of like specifically an outreach programme.
Yeah. Because then if there, let's say, there's a fresher who's like you were sociology, criminology, done some theatre and didn't know that Warwick did theatre, they can find that organisation and say, hi, I'm not a theatre student, but I like theatre. Yeah. I'm from a global majority. Is there any, like, things that I can do to help get involved?
Yeah.
Right.
Would be interesting.
It's like, because I think with BAME, I think what it is that you knew who to go to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But now it's like,
who do I go to?
Now what?
Yeah. That's
but also if, like, BAME could, not BAME, I guess, but, like, whatever the new thing is, could sort of give some training to, like, the outreach officers.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be great because, like, even though, of course, outreach officers are for all kinds of outreach, to do it from, like, a racial standpoint, to, like, collaborate with whatever this new body would be called, I think would be good as well.
Yeah. I know in sports clubs there's lots of training involved in being, we call them divs, but diversity and outreach, but we just say it's like, I'm your div officer, and welfare as well. Like, there is a lot of training that maybe DNOs don't get.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't know.
I don't know.
I've never been one.
No, me neither.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Next. Actually, I have a question for Kayo. Okay. So, Small Fish is the only thing you've done, like, in Warwick Drama,
right? Yeah, Small Fish is the only thing.
Do you do stuff outside? And if so, how?
So, I think for me, my plan was to do stuff outside, like, during uni. But then I think after a while, so I had an agent. But then, they were downsizing. And because I was at uni, they were like, we're going to have to let you go. That was in first year. So I think after that, it was kind of like, I want to just take a break. Because I feel like when you're doing even theatre for so long, like, I don't even know how you guys still do it. Because I remember just being in that theatre space and it was just like, it was just always such a, like, it was a battle. Like, this person wanted to be the, I was just like, oh, it was just constant. And I just feel like from a young age, just always having to be the best, always having to look a certain way, and then going for self-tapes and auditions and being told no. I feel like rejection was, I was just tired of being rejected. And I was just like, you know what? I think now my agent's left me. I just need to take a break. Like, I need to take a break. And I felt like, obviously, I think, again, it would, I think for me as well, knowing that I didn't do theatre as a subject, again, why I really like Small Fish is because there wasn't pressure on it. It was just, I'm doing it because I like it and I'm having fun with this.
Yeah.
So that was the case for me. But yeah, so I haven't necessarily done, I only done Small Fish. I just want to do another project. at the time, but I think they weren't, like, something happened with the production that they weren't able to go through with it. So yeah, that's me. Yeah.
Cool. So we kind of spoke in our previous episode about what we wanted to go on to do, and neither of us want to be actors. So Tala, you want to do like consultation,
yeah, like be a theater consultant, hopefully.
Yeah, and I think I want to go into like movement or like producing vibes.
Yeah.
So we know you want to do acting for Kai. What do you know?
That is a question. I mean, I'd really like to do a master's. Oh. So I did not intend to come to Warwick. It was not my intention. I've come from a performing arts sixth form.
Right.
And they were like, Emily, you need to go and do straight acting. But I auditioned for drama schools, but I auditioned for some acting courses and some musical theatre courses because I was like, I don't know which one. I got offered a couple of foundation years, got offered a couple of places, but then I kind of had a mental break. I was like, am I doing this because I love this, or am I doing this because it's what I've been told to do, it's what I'm expected to do, it's what I've done my whole life. Drama school has always been the end goal. But am I really going to enjoy like 8 to 6 Monday to Friday, working all weekend, not having a social life? And I actually have a friend who's in her third year now, Lara, she's a wonderful person, who went to my sixth form and was like, come to Warwick, you'll love it. And I was like, okay. So here I am. I'm kind of using this time, this 3 years, to decide what kind of like part of theatre that I want to go into. I mean, acting is my passion. Right. I love it.
Yeah.
But I also want to try and have a crack at directing.
Nice. Yeah, I do like directing as well.
I'm
I
yet
to go into that too.
To make my directorial debut, but also, I mean, I'm a qualified makeup artist. I've been doing.
Nice.
Yeah, I do. Well, I've got an upcoming project actually where I'm doing hair and makeup. I've done it on a couple of productions. I did it on Calf the Wicked. That's just another way in. I also write. So that's another
everything.
Thing. I'm jack of all trades. I am, but I'm also really interested in journalism as well.
Right.
So I just think I need to, obviously I need to decide, but hopefully I will have decided by the time I come to the end of my degree, and then hopefully I'll go on to do a master's in the field that I have chosen.
Mm. That's so interesting too, because I am interested in journalism as well. I didn't actually bring this up before. But yeah, I do sometimes like look at journalism degrees and things like that, just because I feel like it's really nice to be able to kind of like travel around and like talk about different issues, things like that. Yeah. I don't think I would be a journalist per se, but I would love to learn journalism.
Yeah. I don't think I could do it. I don't know why. Words just don't come to me in that
sense. See, the way you are with movement, how movement just comes to you, I'm like that with words.
Mm. I've noticed. I have. So I guess in like an acting sense, and maybe even in a directorial sense, stepping out into the industry after uni, how like confident do you guys feel? Like, you've had experience of it in terms of going to auditions, whether there's like roles for you, like all of those stuff, like creating shows. Have you ever thought about life outside?
I've thought about life outside a lot, because obviously I wasn't sure if I wanted to go straight, because obviously when COVID hit, everyone started doing crazy things. I actually brought a whole nail kit because I was like, I'm going to go into nails.
I do my own nails now.
Because of COVID?
Yes.
I literally did, like, there were so many different things I was like, I want to do. So I was thinking, you know what, I don't think I want to go. After I've submitted a UCAS application, I've got my confirmed choice. I was like, do I want to go uni or should I just go into acting? I'm not sure. But I think coming to uni, I'm very happy because I feel like it is a blessing and it's opened so many different doors for me and met amazing people like yourselves. But in general, I think even now, I think for me, going back into the world of acting, I'm still a bit, I'm not as confident, number one, because I feel like I've been 3 years out the game. Like, normally I always go into acting classes, like, it was regular. But even that, I think another reason why I didn't go straight into the acting world is because, really and truly, I didn't see anyone that looked like me. And I was just scared that I would just spend so many years of my life just trying to get that big break. And I was just like, but when's it going to happen? Like, I know, and I think for me, one thing that I was conflicted between was a lot of the times people say that in acting, if you're not going to give it all, then you're not a good actor. If you're not prepared to sleep on the floor and work your ass off, you're not. You don't want it that bad. I'm just like, I do want it, but at what extent? Like, to what cost?
You also have to be realistic. Yeah.
And I was like, really and truly, like, if like I don't, I feel like there's more to me than acting, and I do still want to be able to, you know, have a nice house, have a car, and just have things rather than just constantly wait for that big break. That, and big respect to people who do it, because there are people who do it and they're absolutely amazing now and they're doing big, big things. But for me, I just wasn't sure if I could really do that. And again, I didn't really see that much dark-skinned woman representation in acting world. Like, I only know, there's a few from the UK. Oh, I forgot her name. There's a few, one was in the Captain Marvel.
Lashana Lynch.
Yes, Lashana Lynch. There was this other girl, I love her. She's from Some Girls. I forgot her name. She's from Some Girls. She was Vicky in Some Girls, I think.
It will come.
But there's quite a few, but there's not that many. And I was just like, really and truly, like, I just can't do it anymore. Like, I was just constantly like, oh, I'm just tired of this, you know?
Yeah.
So even now, after uni, I'm actually still thinking, like, I do love acting, but as you said, I feel like coming to uni has allowed me to explore different parts of myself. Mm-hmm. And it's a case of, do I want to? I would still like to do it, but it's just like, how I'm going to do it is what's the obstacle for me wanting to achieve it.
But also, if you don't end up doing it, it doesn't mean you love it any less.
But I feel like that's how, sometimes that's how I feel like.
Yeah.
It's a case of, oh no, if you love it, like, you would have done anything.
Sometimes I feel like that's a toxic part of like society basically telling you, like, if you don't basically give up everything, like you were saying, you're not a great actor, you don't really love your art. And I think that's like a bit crazy.
Especially with creative things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, so I studied performing arts at sixth form, and part of the course is literally, like, we have to give presentations on being a performer.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, so all of my teachers had been there, done that, been in the industry.
Yeah.
So, for example, he was my dance teacher, Oris. He's Caribbean. And, like, he was saying, like, he did not ever see people like him in this industry, so he had to work twice as hard to get that spot on. He was a contemporary dancer, like, to get that spot and prove that he deserved that place. But, like, it's kind of toxic that part of our course, part of our, like, academic thing was being told, you are going to have to work, you're going to have to waitress, you're going to have to, like, like, live in a tiny studio flat, you're going to have to make, like, plans to travel to auditions at the last minute, you're going to miss family functions. Yeah. Like, we were told that. We were sat there in a room being told, basically.
At that age, too.
Yeah, at that age. We were, what, like, 16? Being told, you have basically picked a very difficult career.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you've really, really got it and you're really, really going to work, well, then what's the point? I literally walked out of that room. I remember it and I was like, I don't think I want to do this anymore. Mm. Like, it was crazy.
No, I get you. And someone actually said to me yesterday, like, you should work to live, not live to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat there and I was like, you're so right.
Yeah.
Like, the whole point of life is to go out there and living it. And I always try to find, and I don't know if I do it successfully, but the balance between being realistic and just being harmful to your mind.
Yeah.
It's like, we all know it's going to be difficult, but I feel like it's easy to go, oh, it's going to be difficult. So every bad thing that happens and taking things you shouldn't take, you just let it happen because you're told it's going to be this hard.
Mm,
and I feel like there is a line that a lot of people don't see because, like you said, you're told from a young age you're going to have to work 24/7. You probably won't get anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
One of you will make it in this room. I feel like everyone's heard that. And it just makes you so complicit to the system, I think.
Especially, with my family as well. Like, my mum will say to me, it's my mum's side of the family that are from India. And she said to me, like, she literally, like, obviously, like, typical Asian mother, why couldn't you have been a lawyer? Why couldn't you have done a law degree? Emily, you should have done an English degree. Like, what do you even do? She's like, all the time, obviously she's happy for me, but she's like, she'll come up to visit me and she go, so what do you actually do in your degree?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I study theatre. And she goes, so what, like, what can you do with that? Like, so, like, what's next?
Yeah.
It's all Watson, but she's literally like, you could have, like, you would have been, like, she's, it's in her head. My dad's the same, but, like, my mum is literally like, why didn't you do law? Like, that's a proper degree.
Yeah.
And there is this whole thing, especially, like, right now as well, like, with the way, like, the government's going with arts funding and things like that, like, people don't see theatre, people don't see acting as a real career until you're, like Oscar winner, until you're Florence Pugh. Like, people don't see it, but, like, people don't see that, because, like, for years, like, all these people that are, like, living their best lives, winning Oscars, things like that, were, like, going to auditions, doing all these horrible things. So it's one of those things that people don't see the progress, people only see the end result.
Yeah.
And even then, like, I just use the word successful, but that in itself is a toxic thing I'm trying to get out of, because why are you only successful when you win an Oscar? Yeah.
Like, it's like, why are you only going to call yourself an actor if you're, like, on the West End or something? Yeah. Right.
That's so true. Are so many stages to it.
Anyway, I think we should move on to another. I'm very excited to hear about all this, but
I kind of want to get on to connections, because it kind of links into what we're all saying about where we want to go in the future.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk a bit about nepotism.
Nepotism, connections, call it what you want. Call it what you want. Has anyone ever experienced nepotism to benefit themselves?
Yeah.
I think I have.
Okay. Ooh, tell us.
Dish.
You've got a nepotism baby.
Nepo queen.
I'm calling it nepotism because the way I see it, I think that's what it was.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So back in the day, 18. Year 13. I don't know if that's back in the day. So I auditioned to be in the National Youth Dance Company, which I was terrified for. Because I don't know what it is. I say I'm confident, but I also lack self-confidence at the exact same time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I know I'm not rubbish, but I never let myself think I could be the best. Mm-hmm. Or, like, I could be great. Which is
like,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I know I'm not a bad dancer, because I'd be lying to myself.
That's everyone in the industry, though, honestly.
Yeah.
So going into the audition, everyone was better than me, like, and dance is so subjective as well. Like, we're watching everyone and moving, and I'm like, oh, they move different to me, they move different to me. But I'd worked with the choreographer before. So I walked into the audition room, they, like, smiled at me. One of the dancers came up and hugged me. And I know I did get in for my talent, but I feel like in those situations like that, I was like, oh, wow, in, like, the real world, it does help to know people. And it also just changes perspectives, like,
and makes someone feel more comfortable, right?
Someone probably saw me get hugged and was thinking, oh my gosh, like,
oh dear,
they're getting in, I'm not.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think, especially with coming from this community of theatre students, the people that you are auditioning for in university shows are your friends.
That's exactly what I wanted to get.
They are your friends. Oh my gosh. And it's difficult because it's like, you've seen me go feral at pop, and now you're going to watch me deliver a Shakespeare monologue, and you're going to judge me like you didn't see that.
Do you know what? So true.
Yeah,
because I've been on the panel, and I've introduced myself, and I'm like, we're friends.
Yeah, it's like you, like, have slept in my bed. Like, no. But yeah, it's difficult because I have auditioned for a lot of shows, and sometimes you like to think that, like, my friend is directing it, so they're going to put me in.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't think like that, because that's not the way it is. I mean, the shows that I've done, I like to think that I got offered roles on my talent, not just, like, because they know me.
Yeah.
And
you never know, though.
This
do
is
you?
The thing, you don't know. You don't know. But, and then I think a lot of people, I mean, I don't know if this class is itself, if this is nepotism, but, like, if someone knows that you're talented and they know what you're like, they've seen you act, and then they then have you in mind for a role.
Yeah.
Is...
I sort of feel like... Yeah, I mean, it's like you audition them just because, like, that's part of the process. But, like, I've assistant directed, like, two things. And I'm not saying I have been involved in nepotism, but I'm also not saying that I haven't, like, low-key seen it. It's like you come into it and, like, for example, the director might have someone in mind for it.
Yeah.
So even though they audition the people and also consider others,
yeah,
it's like there's that confirmation bias.
Yeah.
And I sort of kind of feel like that almost falls into like who you know.
Yeah.
Oh, but
it's it's like that in the industry. Like, for example, like Quentin Tarantino, like working with Samuel L. Jackson, like they have a friendship because they have worked together. Yeah. So he will then direct and write things with his friend in mind. Like, I don't know who else, what, like Matt Damon.
Yeah, but so many people are kind of like, I'm seeing these same people in like the same movies. Like, for example, I'm thinking like the Russo brothers.
Yes.
So many of the movies that they direct include Marvel people.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying those Marvel actors aren't talented, but I'm also saying that they're probably chosen or like put up front because it's like they know them and they've worked with them.
But I guess that is the case like in a lot of industries. Yeah. Like, if you have a friend that's looking for a job, a job comes up,
that
you would recommend them.
Yeah.
So sometimes it is beneficial.
Yeah.
I mean, but then also it's not.
It has its charms.
Yeah,
yes.
It does. I think it's definitely at times like it's, I think for me, I've kind of just learned to, like, that is the way the world is at times.
Yeah.
But I also feel like, okay, cool, you do that, but I think sometimes it's a form of laziness because then people then say, oh, but there's just no one for this job. No, you haven't checked. Like, you you haven't done the program, you haven't done the outreach, you haven't, there are people who can fill that role. You just choose to just go to the next person who,
because it's convenient.
It's and if sometimes majority of the celebrities, because they're very popular, so you know they would also bring their whole fan crew over to watch the movie and therefore it will generate more profit. Sometimes I just feel like, it's just a case of people are not really trying anymore. They're just, because you see the same faces in a lot. I'm just like, come on. Like, there's multiple people who could have done this and potentially could have done it better. I don't know. But I just feel like it's just a case of branching out. Like, there are people who can fill the role. Like, stop choosing the same people over and over and over and over again, because it's just, I understand it and I've got, that's the way the world works. But I feel like there needs to just be a case of, okay, cool, this time I'll use my friend, but this time I'm going to, you know, actually do a massive casting call, or go to a school and get a look for people there, just stuff like that.
I guess it's like,
I thought of like a kind of random but linked thing, but you know, like celebrity appearances in musicals.
Oh.
Like Joe Sugg, the YouTuber, did The Waitress.
I was gonna cry.
Stuff like that.
That stuff
does annoy me.
Yeah.
Because most of the time, the celebrities who do go on the musicals are like, oh, it's been my passion since I was a kid.
Everyone
But
can
I'm
say
also
that.
Like, people trained
I'm
for
raging
them.
Right now.
Okay, let's hear about
I'm
it.
I'm raging. I hate stunt casting so much. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. Because it's like, when a musical is struggling, they think, right, we need to put a famous face in. Because people know who that is. So, for example, Joe Sugg in Waitress. Apparently, he was fantastic.
Apparently.
I don't care. Because he just waltzed in. He just waltzed in. I mean, I saw Blake Harrison in that role, as in Neil from The Inbetweeners.
Right.
He's an actor. Like, that's okay. Like, it was technically stunt casting, but not to the extent of, like, Joe Sugg. But one that I like to get at, and any of my friends from theatre listening, watching, you're going to know exactly who I'm going to say, Carrie Hope Fletcher.
Okay.
Fair. The rage I have. Right.
Do you want to explain, like, who
Carrie,
like, just
so
for everyone?
Carrie Hope Fletcher is Tom Fletcher's sister. Tom Fletcher is the lead singer of McFly.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's his sister. I mean, I don't know if she's trained. I might be wrong. I don't, maybe she has been. But so she was cast in my favourite musical, Heathers, when it came to the West End. And she was not right for the lead role. And I say this from a place of, I know that musical like the back of my hand. I've analysed it. I know everything about it because it was my favourite thing ever. She was put in the wrong role. Like, by all means, cast her in the show.
Yeah.
But she should have been the antagonist. I'm not going to go into detail because I don't want to explain the plot of Heathers. But I don't think vocally, I don't think her style of acting suited the role that she was given, which was the lead role. But they put her in the lead role because it's Carrie Hope Fletcher. And like, people like see that and they're like, oh my God, she's so cool, because I think she was like a YouTuber or something. But I mean, I'm sure, I don't like her as a performer. That's just my personal opinion. Like, I'm sure she's great. I mean, she's in the Caucasian Chalk Circle right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she was good as Wednesday in The Addams Family. But in that role, it just grinded my gears because I was like, she should not have been in that role. She should not have been in that role. Mm-hmm. But she got that role because of her last name.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Annoying.
Yeah.
To say the least.
Rant over. Thank you very much.
I do have a question, though. Are we above that? Like, if we were given that opportunity because of who we knew or, you know, whatever it is, would we say no if we'd wanted that, like, our whole lives? Because, honestly, I can't say that I would say no.
I don't think...
If I'm being realistic, I wouldn't say no, but... That said, I think it would depend what it was.
Yeah.
If someone came up to me and was like, right, I'm giving you this dance gig, it's big. To an extent, I know my worth. Like, I have trained, I've done the work, I do dance. If someone was like, I'm going to put you as, like, this role in a musical theatre, me knowing I haven't done anything. I think that's when I would question myself. So I think...
Yeah, I mean, like, of course, like, if someone was like, hey, Talia, sing in an opera, like, I don't sing opera, like, I wouldn't do it, you know what I mean? But if someone is like, hey, I'd like you to, like, act in this thing or, like, direct something that I've been wanting to do my whole life, I don't think I could say no, if I'm being honest.
I think if you know, like, if you know, you know your worth, like, if I was, I mean, I'm trying to think of an example here. Let's say my best friend was directing Grease, and she was like, I'm going to give you Sandy because you're my best friend. I'd be like... No, because I can't sing that high. You know I can't sing that high. I'm not going to take that role away from someone who is of a better ability than I am.
And plus, it would be embarrassing for you anyway.
It would be embarrassing for me. It would be embarrassing for me. But yeah, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. No, it is.
What about you, Fikayo?
I think, yeah, I'm probably same with you. I don't think I could do it just because I'm just like, but realistically, I'm not right for the role. But again, if it was something that I am right for. But it kind of reminds me of the topic of nowadays influencers that are being casted in movies. Because I think, I think her name's Addison Rae.
Oh my goodness.
You know, she did a movie on Netflix and I was just like...
It was terrible.
It was so bad.
It was so
bad. And I was just
I didn't even watch it.
It was because for me now, obviously, as I said, like I'm still very much into the acting world, but I'm kind of, I think nowadays, I feel like there's just different avenues to acting, and I think I'm exploring that because I think it's not just a straight route of theatre school and drama school anymore. I feel like the industry is opening up, and it's a case of you, them knowing that you have the talent, but you potentially staying in other ways. So I'm kind of looking to like presenting and hosting and stuff like that, stuff that I can also, I'm also quite good at. But because I'm doing that, therefore I'm in the spaces that people who are actors and directors are also in. So it's kind of like just knowing how to, how I can also get into the industry without potentially going through the direct route of like theatre school and drama school, because I came to uni and I didn't go to performing arts at sixth form. But at the same time, it's kind of like, okay, cool. So if I did become like a very popular presenter, would it still be right for me to take an acting role because I'm I'm more of a presenter
sorry
than an actor?
Can you not slide?
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
That's fine.
So yeah, because I'm more of a presenter than an actor. Like, is it really still fair? But I think nowadays it's just a case that there's just so many people who, as you said, like it's more of the fact because of their status, that's why they're in that position, and it's quite sad and it takes away from people who have worked so hard and done so many things just to...
That's interesting, though, because, like, the late Caroline Flack was trained in theatre, did acting, then went to presenting. So then when she... What was she in? She was in Chicago, wasn't she?
Yeah.
People are like, oh, my God, why has she been cast? She has a BA in theatre. And so it's interesting that you said presenting because there is a lot of overlap. Like, for example, Laura Whitmore... is going to be in 222, which is a fantastic play, which is very stunt casty, but the people that they've casted are trained. They are trained. Like, they've had, like another Fletcher, Giovanna Fletcher. But she's trained. Like, she's, like, done it. So I think it's like what we were saying, like, if we're right for the role. Like, if you have the ability and you know someone, then maybe it makes sense, but... I don't know.
Yeah, but I also think it's important to, like, when we say people are trained, right, to not just be like, oh, you didn't get a degree, for example, or you didn't go to acting school, therefore you weren't trained, right? Because I think sometimes it's easy to judge people who weren't trained in that sort of classical way as being, like, less able. Whereas, like, not everyone has the opportunity to go to get trained at these places. And so it's, like, as long as you obviously have that experience in whatever sense that is and have sort of put in the work, then I think it's also important to, like, acknowledge that.
Yeah.
That's something I think really important. Okay, last thing to round it up.
Yes.
We want to touch a little bit on authenticity. Mm-hmm. Interpret that how you want, but I'm going to start off with The Little Mermaid because it's very recent and something that the reaction was so interesting. Mm-hmm. So if you don't know, where have you been? But so for the live action Little Mermaid movie, they've cast Ariel as a black woman. Mm-hmm. And I personally loved watching all the TikToks of, like, the little black girls literally just beaming and smiling. But then there was a lot of debate about authenticity and this is not Ariel, or their hair's not ginger enough, or you took a role from a ginger person.
Oh my God.
That's so good.
I really saw that.
Okay.
I thought that was so interesting because I've never seen the discussion of authenticity happen that way round before, personally. Like, it's never been, I don't know, like, it's always been against people of global majority. I feel like I've seen it happen. So to see someone in that position and then it go backwards saying you took it from a ginger person, Ariel, that was baffling to me.
Ariel is a cartoon
character. Yeah,
it's not that deep. Ariel is a cartoon. Yeah. Let's say, like, if in my opinion, if you are playing a real person, you should be of the same background as that person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ariel is a cartoon. I'm sure Hans Christian Andersen is not turning in his grave that the fantastic... Is it Halle Bailey or Chloe
Halle.
Bailey?
Halle.
That the fantastic singer, Halle Bailey, is playing this role. Like, maybe they auditioned ginger people and they weren't as talented.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know. True. We're not in the back rooms of Disney.
That is true.
But it's just... It's not... Why are people... Like, it's the people that are raging are like... Karens and like old white men, like, this is not right. And I'm like, could you do a better job? Could you? Yeah. Like, I just think, leave the poor girl alone.
It's not needed.
It's also just interesting to me how still, like, it's what, 2022, this is still like revolutionary, like, or considered like, whoa, crazy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I always like get a reality check of how far we've come, but also like not.
But I mean, I guess, for example, like Harry Potter, like the Cursed Child or whatever, the one on the West End. Like, when my mom and I watched it, like, Hermione, obviously in the movies, is Emma Watson, a white person. Now, in the one I watched, it was like a black family that played like Hermione and mother or something like that. And my mom did tell me that she was like shocked at first and that she was kind of like trying to not have the image of like Emma Watson in her mind as she watched it. Now for me, I think it's like she didn't have a problem with it. It was just something she had to get used to. And I think now, but then recently after watching lots of shows like on the West End or whatever, my mom was saying that people are just cast like based on their abilities now and more so. And it's not necessarily like, oh, it's a white character, then it has to be played by a white person. And now she's already used to it.
Yeah.
And I think that's like interesting how it might be shocking at first, but then over time it's like people don't even realize it anymore, and I think that's a good thing, if I'm being honest.
Like, it's literally a character in a book. Like,
yeah,
it's not a real person. Like, Hermione's not a real person. Yeah. And then again, like, they might have auditioned people that are like Emma Watson and they weren't as good. Like,
yeah,
I just think people like to, they want things to be angry at, and it's just like, stop it. Like, it's annoying. Like, I went to see Legally Blonde at Regent's Park open air.
I wish I could have seen it.
It was an interesting production. I've seen loads of productions of Legally Blonde. It was not one of the best I'd seen. I think I'm not just saying that, I'm biased.
Yeah.
But I think the MTW production of Legally Blonde was better.
Really?
Than the Regent's Park production. So Courtney Bowman was given the role of Elle Woods. Courtney Bowman is mixed race. She's like gorgeous, fantastic, very talented. Mm-hmm. Was she right for the role of Elle Woods? We don't know, because vocally she wasn't fab, but she had the character. But people were saying they've done that on purpose, they've stunt casted it to modernize it, like they've just given it to her because typically, like in the film, Elle Woods is a white blonde woman,
right?
But they've just done that, like, but I was like, she was great, like she wasn't like amazing, but people like to say that the casting of that musical was very forced diversity because they cast a lot of people who are non-binary. They cast lots of different backgrounds who maybe, like, the question is, were they given those roles to make the cast more diverse? Mm. Because some of them weren't fab.
Yeah.
No, I think that's actually very interesting, because I think even for me, it's kind of, I'm not going to lie, sometimes in shows or theatre productions or TV programmes, you kind of can see it when it's like, when it is forced, like when it's, you can tell they're doing it to fill a quota and to tick boxes rather than actually doing it because they care, kind of thing. Mm. I don't know, sometimes that can show. And as you said, I think I do agree with you. I think a lot of the times it should be based on talent, because it shouldn't be necessarily, oh, it's kind of a case of this character. It should literally just be based on talent. But even doing that, if it's a case of, and the thing is, I think it's very rare, as I said, like, mm-hmm. even with the, I was talking about the how nepotism and like the outreach, like there are people who can fill that role.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a case of that there's not a black female who can't sing.
Right.
There are multiple. Come on.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? There are multiple. It's a case of you just really reaching out and trying to find that Asian woman who can sing, the black woman who can sing, rather than just kind of, as you said, maybe she wasn't, maybe people are saying she wasn't right for the role, but obviously I haven't watched it myself, but it's a case maybe of just thinking, like, is this person right for the role, or are we just doing this just fill a quota? And I think it's very important that, because I feel like when they start to do that, they do lose the authenticity of the show, because it's like, I'm here to make sure that I'm seeing things that, like, are very much remarkable, and it's not just a case of, oh, I feel like the director just said, because even me, like, I've been on a set, like, as an extra, and I was the only black girl there, and they were telling me, oh, be behind the scenes, I'm just like, I just feel like I'm here for a dive. Right. I'm here because there was only one black girl and you don't want to look racist.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I felt. And I was grateful for the opportunity, but I was just like, why are you just constantly using me? Like, I'm the only black girl and now you're trying to say I have to be in every single scene. Come on. Like, if that's the case, fine. Yeah. There's multiple other people who can do it as well.
Yeah.
It's just a case of you looking for it.
It's like, if you really, like, if they sat around the table and were like, we would like a mixed race girl to play Elle Woods, they were like, it almost feels like they went, oh, there's one, we'll have her. That maybe they didn't, because she was like fresh out of Six, like big name on the West End. She was fantastic, and everybody's talking about Jamie as well, like, but they kind of went, oh, everyone knows who she is, there we go. Like, if you really like made the decision to do that, why didn't you branch out? Why didn't you go to Arts Ed, to Mountview, and find someone who is maybe a bit more vocally there? But like, her acting was good. Like, her acting was good. But I don't know. I have a lot. There's a lot of things. Like, we could talk for hours about that production, honestly, because it was just a bit of a mess. But
however,
time.
Yes. Thank you so much. To Em and Fikayo for joining us on this episode.
It was honestly lovely having both of you.
We would love to talk about this more, but since we do have a time constraint right now, we would love for all of you who are listening, if you want to continue the conversation on our Instagram through DMs or on our in our comment section. Yes, and do, you know, ask. Like, maybe we can, like, do a part two if there is enough interest.
I feel like there's more to say.
So thank you again, guys.
Well.
Like,
comment, and subscribe.
Yay! Like, comment, and subscribe.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank
really
you.
Enjoyed it. Bye.
Bye.